Father, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you we can come together and just praise your name. Thank you for your word. And Lord, just thank you for the lessons you teach us throughout life and that you never leave us alone. And like the song says, you're the God who stays and you're our constant teacher. We just thank you for that. We just praise you for that. So I pray you would just open our hearts and minds this morning to receive. I pray you'd anoint me with the Spirit to speak things of the Spirit. And again, we just thank you for your love, and we give all thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we're continuing on with our series here on marriage and see and family. It's more marriage, but family and how it functions. And as a result, and because of that, I always, before each message, I want to read these 4 points that kind of sets the tone, okay? So we'll start off here with number one, the family is a world in miniature where life lessons are learned. Number two, biblical marriage exalts the woman and demands leadership by the man. Number three, a biblical marriage relationship will teach healthy, lifelong values to children. Number four, sin messes up everything. If you want to turn now to Proverbs 18:4. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 4. And you see the title of the message is Code Talkers. Code Talkers. And read Proverbs 18:4 here. The words of a woman are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. Now, if you read that in your Bible, it probably says the words of a man are deep waters, but it's just a misprint. So if I put the correct word in there, woman. Anyway, God, I'm sorry I said that. I didn't mean that. But it fits, you know. Of course, any proverbs and stuff, it means men and women, so it's not totally inappropriate to do that. But the words of a woman are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. And there's a lot of wisdom here for us to learn. And as we talk about the family. And the figure here of deep waters suggests the idea of profound words and thoughts. That's what it means. And this equates to a fountain of wisdom that flows from a deep, inexhaustible brook. And it's just bubbling up. So that's a picture. It's an incredible, profound picture there. So just these deep waters and wisdom bubbling up like a bubbling brook. Now, what this means is that often, although these words are heard, these words are not understood by the other party. That's what it means. They're heard, but they're not understood. And so they're not understood because they originate from a different culture and it's totally foreign to the hearer. You know, with me? That's why they're not understand, because it comes from a different culture, different language. So you hear the words, but you don't understand what the words mean. Now that's what this proverb is saying, you know. And so we see the truth there, and he's telling us something to be aware of. Now I want to give us an example. Here's a great example, I think, okay? In World War II, the United States had a secret code that was never broken by the Japanese. Quite amazing. You know, ultimately, everybody breaks everybody's code. But the United States had one that was never broken. Never, the Japanese never broke the code. And this secret group of military code talkers, that's what they were called, code talkers. This secret group of military code talkers were Navajo Indians from New Mexico. Did you know that? That this is true. They were in the Pacific. They're Navajo Indians from New Mexico, and they had a code that the Japanese never could break. They never could break it. And what they used, what the Navajos used, was their native language. That's it. I mean, that's all they did. They spoke their native language, and the Japanese couldn't break it. Everything. All their sophistication, all their intelligence, everything. They couldn't break this code. It didn't make any sense. And all the Navajo were doing were speaking their native language. That's amazing. I think it's kind of amazing the United States figured this out. Said, oh my gosh, we got this whole tribe of Navajo, you know, and came in. And so they were code talkers. They were known as code talkers and in the Pacific, and they were used. If you look on your bulletin, you see the picture there, the picture on the bulletin, those are actual code talkers in the Pacific. That's an actual picture taken. Fran put that in there, you know, to some of Fran's relatives. It was. Anyway. So, but that's incredible. That's our original picture. Look at that picture. That's who they were. So it's a fascinating thing. Never could break the code. But what they were doing, they were speaking their native language. That's what they did. Now, so when we look at this, you know, what is the connection to this? What, how does this connect to us? And, well, we see, how could the Japanese have broken the Navajo language? You'd have to get to know a Navajo. You have to get to know a Navajo, get to know their culture and get to know them. Oh, I got it. See, it wasn't some exotic counseling, some exotic approach. No, you get to know them, learn their culture. Oh, that's what they're saying. See, now, okay, why am I bringing this up? Why am I bringing this up? Husbands, you are married to a code talker. I'm just telling you, you are married to a code talker. And, you know, you don't need a lot of sophisticated training to figure out who she is. What you need to do to understand your wife is to investigate her culture and her language. And you get to know her. And you, oh, that's what she's saying. Are y'all with me? Now, I know the women are. Guys, are you with me? See? I mean, that's it. And so it's a good parallel, and it's a fascinating to look at when we want to understand. And we've talked about a lot of differences up to this point, but this is the highlight, you know, of the importance in what happens in a marriage relationship. Like, what do you mean? You know? I have this, I share this, Linda, and about Linda. And I didn't, and by the way, she's the biggest mystery in my life. I didn't understand a thing about her. Nothing. I mean, she opened her mouth, I had no clue. I just didn't understand anything at all. And she would tell me all the time, and she goes, I am the simplest person in the world to understand. What she was saying, I'm Navajo, you're not. And because she was simple, she goes, she could understand her Navajo language and culture, and it was like, me, this is like, you're crazy Indian. I mean, it makes no sense to me. You see what I'm saying? Now, I can say you're crazy. I'm part Indian, too, so it's like, I'm not being disparaging. So when she would say, I'm the simplest person in the world to understand, it's like, and nothing she does makes sense. It just doesn't make sense. One of us is crazy. You go, you didn't say that. Yeah, I did. Come on. When we got married, she's 19, I was 20. You just give us a break. What could we possibly know? I mean, it's what could we possibly know? But what I found out, what she really was like this, she was deep waters in a bubbling brook, you know. And I was about to drown. I couldn't figure out a thing she was passing on to me. Now, so what I want to do is pass on to this. This is, and again, I think the picture of the code talker is very, very good. You know, when you understand what's going on, you can, okay, I can resolve this. I understand. I know where to go. Or you can be like the Japanese Empire at the time and use everything they had, you know, every resource they had and couldn't understand a word. See? So you got a choice there. So, but God goes, no, it's not that hard. And the Bible tells us it's not that hard. Get to know, you know, your spouse. Now, we talked about, and so we've taught all the messages up to this point, so we're getting a feel for it, okay? Now, I want to give you an example, personal example, of when I broke a piece of the code. And I actually knew I did. I didn't really know there was a code there. I just thought it was just a bunch of stuff. But when I said, oh my gosh, I really had an aha moment. It was just like heavens opened up, the sun shined down, angels sang. I mean, it was one of those moments. It really was. Now, I always tell people, I learn, but I learn really, really slow. But I do learn. You know, it's just very, very slow. But so here's an example. Early on in our marriage, Linda would often tell me, and she just, you know, she said, you just don't love me. You don't love me. And I would say, watch my lips. I love you. Done. Now, didn't go over well. I mean, I don't know why. It was clear to me, you know, and she would say something. See, that just proves it, you know. What is this? It just makes no sense. Just makes no sense. So, anyway, after we had been married 10 years, separated 2.5 years, and about 6 months of us being together, let's see, that's 2.5, that's 13 years. Like I said, I was slow. Okay, so it's 13 years together. And so, but at this point, we're together, and I'm trying, okay, I really am. I mean, she has got my attention. I am trying, because, I mean, she's just like, I don't want to be here, period. And so I'm really trying in this whole situation. And things were very tense, and they weren't very pleasant. They weren't very pleasant at all. I mean, just to so you know, some people, oh, it wasn't. No, it wasn't very pleasant. Like, she would fix dinner, and she'd set 3 places. One for our 2 children, one for her. I just, like I said, it was tense. It's like, what do you do? I mean, I'm like here on the trial basis anyway. You don't say nothing. You know, it's like, holy cow. So, but that it did get better, you know. She really is a good cook, and she cooks for me of her own free will. Of her own free will. But okay, so that was the situation. So you got it? That's the situation. So I come home to our apartment one day, and our apartment is spotless. Okay, by the way, if you want to just run over our house and look in our house right now, it's spotless. Just let you know. The beds are made. Okay. If I'm ever late, it's because we're making the bed. You don't walk out of the house unless the bed's made. Okay, just the way it is, okay? That's just it. I'm not complaining. That's just a statement of fact. It's just the way it is. So, and it's the way it always was. After, you know, I mean, I think she was like 3 months old and she folded her own diapers. I mean, it's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. So, I came home from work. This is the situation. I came home from work, and I walk into our apartment. It's spotless. Okay, no surprise there. So I took off my shoes before I walked in, and I put them right beside the door, neatly. Didn't kick them off, just neatly by the door. And I walked over, sat down on the couch. And so after a while, she walked in, and she goes, you need to take your shoes to the bedroom. I go, okay. But I didn't move. I said, okay, but I didn't move. I thought, like, when I get up to go to the bedroom, I'll take my shoes. You know, this kind of in my head. So, after a while, she walked by again. And a little more stern said, take your shoes to the bedroom. I said, okay. I didn't move. But I said, okay, thinking again, when I do get up to go back in bed, I will get my shoes and take them to the bedroom, so like that. She came by a third time. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Was she ever hot? I mean, upset. We're not talking a little upset. We're talking big time upset. And in no uncertain terms, told me to get my shoes and take them to the bedroom now. And I did. I took them in the bedroom. And I stayed in the bedroom for a long time. I thought, this is like the safest place in the house right now. It's just like, oh my gosh, you know. And so I'm thinking, what in the world? It's a stinking pair of shoes. I mean, this is by the door. I couldn't figure out, what in the world is the big deal about those shoes? And so I thought, well, I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to just ask. I mean, 13 years is about time, okay? So I'm going to ask. So she was cooking dinner in the kitchen. So I walked in to where she was, and I very humbly, diplomatically said, I know I really upset you by not picking up my shoes, and I understand that. And I said, but I really would like for you to tell me, why did you get so upset? And she said, if you loved me, you'd have picked them up when I asked. My head almost exploded. I'm going, what? Now, I didn't make a face. I'm just dead on looking. But I'm thinking, what is that? How does my shoes connect with me loving her? Then those two do not connect. That makes no sense to me. And I look at, now it seemed like 30 minutes, but it's a millisecond. And I'm looking, and then all of a sudden it just like fell into place. I said, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. I thought, hey, what she does is she takes pride, and for her it's a real big deal to have the house totally in order. That's a big deal. And so that's what she does. And if she does that, that reflects her. See, that reflects her. That house reflects her. It being clean reflects her. And when I walk in and drop my shoes on it, it says I don't care about what she's done. Y'all with me? Guys, you with me? Ladies already jumped up and they haven't answered this already. But I'm walking this through for you guys. And so I drop the shoes on the floor. It says, I don't care about what you have done. But the second message that flows out through that is, I don't care about you. Y'all with me? Guys, I just want you to know, all the ladies nodded. Just let you know. So that communicates that I don't care about her. But what did she say? What did she say? If you loved me. It also says, not only do I don't care about her, I don't love her. That was the message. That was the code. I broke the code. I thought, oh my God. I mean, it's like, I just got way smarter. You know, I got to know an Navajo, their culture, and their, oh my gosh, it all opened up. I mean, it was amazing. Everything was falling in place. It's like I walk in the house, take off my coat, throw it on the couch. Oh, no siree. No siree. Because it's not a coat on the couch. It's an I don't love you. And I never intended that. I pick that sucker up and hang it up because it's an I love you. Guys, I'm telling you, you can save a fortune on flowers. You with me? You're wasting money. You're just wasting money, man. I mean, you got to figure the code out. Now I'm saying, she likes flowers, you should get flowers. But I'm telling you, when you learn the code, it's like, oh my God. And watch, you know, you don't love me. Watch my lips. But I broke the code. It's no, the actions that come in. And so I think along those lines, and therefore it affects my behavior because I want to communicate I love you. Amen? Y'all with me? It's amazing. Well, this is funny. I'll just add this. I think it's funny. She'll go see her mother. She's getting elder. She'll go see her mother. Mother, you know the house is clean, right? When she leaves. And so when she leaves, you know what I think? I don't do anything. I don't pick anything up. I don't make the bed. She's gone a week. I don't make the bed for a week. I don't care. You know, it's like that. I mean, I'm happy with it. It doesn't bother me a bit. When she comes back, man, I'm smoking. I am smoking. I get my I love yous in order now, like that. So okay, she comes in. And so it's like, I love you. And you know what she did? She came home and she says, this looks so nice. Just makes me sick about how I know you had it before I came. I go, wait a minute. Now, you got to give some grace there. I mean, you weren't here. But it's like, no, I see it as an I love you. But the reason I share that, I didn't get any neater. I said, oh, that's an I love you. I will do that. I'm serious. You buy flowers. I pick up my shoes. It's a money saver. I'm telling you, break the code. A lot of good things happen when you break the code. Y'all with me? Code talkers. And the thing of it is, take these Navajo. Do they walk around and go, I'm a Navajo. You know, they're just Navajo. They don't think about it. She's a code talker. She don't think about it. She just is one. You see what I'm saying? Oh, they're thinking this up. You just thought up being an Indian, didn't you? Yeah, no, they just are one. Women are just are one. They don't think about it. That's just who they are. So we need to break the code. And by getting to know their culture and their language, you break the code. And it is so easy to communicate. It is really easy to communicate. If you're talking English, the Navajo are speaking whatever the language they have, Navajo, to you, no matter how hard you try, you can't get anyplace because you're two different languages. You don't understand. No, she's Navajo. She said, you don't understand. I don't know, it's your Navajo. Well, what do? You got to break the code. Y'all see what I'm saying? Oh, by the way, I want to just share something with you, just so you know, each of you thinking, God, what is it? Every single marriage goes through this. Every single one. Now, you can fool everybody else. You can't fool me. Every single one. I did, a while back, I was doing some relationship classes, and I were doing them. It's mostly unsaved people's interest, and they came. By the way, it still works. You know why it works with unsaved women and men? Because they're men and women. See, that's why it works. One of the questions I ask at the end, I says, what's the biggest thing you got out of it? The majority of the people said, everybody goes through this. I didn't know it. They had no question. They went through it. What they didn't know is everybody else went through it because nobody's telling anybody. You see what I'm saying? So everybody's going through this. And I'm going to just, I shouldn't say this. And if they say they're not, they're lying. And excuse me, but they are. They are. As soon as they said, I do, the thing went south. You see what I'm saying? So you break the code. And this is in God's plan. Oh, you're expanding your... God, you know, you should have kind of gave a little more info before I stepped into this. He goes, I tried. I mean, I'm 20. Come on. I mean, it should have... I guess there's no hope at 20. But she is 19. Anyway, are y'all with me? See what I'm saying? You break the code. So I broke the code. But when I broke the code, I didn't need to lessen all this other stuff. I just automatically knew because I broke the code. You see what I'm saying? It's fascinating. Well, here's another one. Look at Proverbs 13:14. This is really on this, Proverbs 13:14. And I never do this, but I'm going to do it this time. It says, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that the one may turn away from the snares of death. I'm going to tell you something. This is what the Bible says about listening to the Bible, but it also tells you about people that have gone through something and they share what you've been through. I just shared what I went through, and so because of what God taught me, it's a teaching, it's a fountain of life, and I'm trying to turn you away from the snares of death. Because that's, if you don't take this in, that's where you're going. Amen? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Going to happen. Well, here, let's look at another example of breaking the code. Y'all for good for another example? Good? Okay. It's just the breaking code example. Now, say your wife asks you to fix the faucet. dripping. So would you fix the faucet? Now, this is an example. You can see through it and then make some applications. It isn't like this example goes through everything else. And it's just like when I talked about your wife may not be as bothered by the house being clean, but I promise you, she is a code talker, and you need to break her code. She may not give a flip about the house, but there's still code that you need to break there. You are married to a code. You just call your wife a code talker. No, that probably won't be good either. But anyway, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from snares of death. You know what a snare is? It's this little thing on the ground, and it just, whoa, you go. You go, how did I get here? You didn't break the code, man. You wouldn't have got here. The snare wouldn't, because you would have just break the code. Anyway, so there. Now here, another example. Wife asks you to fix the faucet. And the guy goes, he wants to be helpful, okay? And he says, okay, but I have these four other things I need to do. Right? I mean, like that. And so that's what you tell her, and she's like, upset. A little bit, not much, just upset. And you go, whoa. Why are you upset? And so the guy goes, let me explain to you why I need to do these four things first. So he has all the facts and the go. So he explains it to the nth detail. More information than she ever wanted. He explains it. And then, to his surprise, he finds out she's more agitated than before. I mean, she's totally stepping out into unreasonable, right? I mean, she's not. Don't you understand that? And so what he does, he gives her more facts so that she can clearly understand why he has looked at all the details and is doing what he's doing, so she can fully understand what's going on. And she hears loud and clear. She hears loud and clear that she is number five on his list. She heard you, and you proved it. You see where this is going? You also prove that these four things that you put before her are more important than her. Forget the faucet. It just became irrelevant. She is fourth. She is fifth in your life. And in your brilliance, you convinced her. I mean, God, we're so stinking smart. I mean, we nailed it. I mean, we nailed it. See, and with all our logic, if we are totally successful, we will totally convince her that she is number five. She will be absolutely, totally convinced. I'm number five. This is not good. This is not, but you said, and what the guy did, he used all his capacity and his brilliance to prove that she's number five. So he got his point across. Now, what did he need to do? He needed to break the code. He needed to break the code. See? And you know what the code is that needs to be broken? She wants to be number one, not number five. I'm just telling you, guys. I have a unified nod from the women. Yeah, she wants to be number one. She doesn't want to be number five. If you break that code, you go, okay, now you're faced with, I want you to fix the faucet. So the guy, since he broke the code, he goes, she wants to be number one. I got these four things to do, but she wants to be number one. So since he broke the code, he would say something like, you know, I'm glad you asked me that. I would love to fix this faucet for you. Underline for you. Okay, not because it's leaking. It's for you. No, I love you dearly. I want to fix this faucet for you. You're number one in my life. you don't have to say that, but if she knows it, you're number one in my life. Okay? And you say, what about the four other things? But after you have confirmed she's number one in your life and you want to fix the faucet, you say, you know, I just want to share something with you. I have these four other things that need to be done, and here's what they are. What do you think we should do about them? She'll go, fine, go ahead and fix it. That's all right. You can get the faucet later. Why? Because the key was that she's number one. Ladies, am I right? See? And the guy go, but what if she says no? And that, you know, she's reasonable. She's got much sense as you do, you know? And so you just tell her she's number one. You got these four other things. Okay, we'll work. This needs to get done. You can go ahead and do it. You get the faucet later. Because the primary thing was that you put her where she's supposed to be. You break the code. It helps in the communication. It helps in the communication. And you have a communication about the situation that just came up. Instead of just overloading her with your brilliance of the facts of what you should do. Because she's too dumb to figure it out. Now you say, Wallace, you shouldn't have said that. But that's what comes across. Plus, you call her dumb and make her number five. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, things are going, it's just going south, guys. Like that. The primary issue is how she rates in your life, not the stupid faucet or the other four issues. You see what I'm saying? Break the code. And then you can communicate. You can communicate. Now, we good? Everybody's good. Somebody's saying, I don't know if we're good or not. We're good. We're good. Now, I've got one more. Code breaker experience. And this one is another personal one. Some people say, why do you like use these things from personal things in your life, like when you're separated? Well, what happened when I separated, when Linda and I were separated, and it's like, we're going north and south. And so I'm going to make an attempt to, you know, make things better. Well, she's out. She's checked out. She's not putting nothing in. Nothing. And she's up front. I ain't putting nothing in this. See? So you put in. So the whole onus is on me. This is what you should have said. She goes, see ya. You got a place of your own. Go there. You see what I'm saying? So the full onus was on me, which I just complained to the Lord and how unfair he was and why he couldn't fix her. And, you know, that was my prayer. God, fix her. But what he did, what he showed me, because the onus was on me, I learned. Because I couldn't put anything on her. I couldn't expect on anything from her. Therefore, I had to learn. What it was just totally for me in the situation. Therefore, I learned. And I couldn't go, but you. See what I'm saying? A but you doesn't help to learn. So that's what happened. And so I looked back on it. I said, Lord, I can really thank you for that. I said, but good God, you could have gave me a pamphlet or something to read. Lord, why all that time? And then Linda, in her wisdom, she helped me understand that. She said, you're hard-headed. Don't ask unless you want to hear, all right? You hear it. Okay, here's another one, code breaker. Another code breaker, unbelievable for me. Now, as I mentioned before, Linda and I are separated, and I would try to initiate conversations with poor results. And you understand, this is the dynamic, and I'm trying to initiate a conversation. It's nothing. It's just nothing there, okay? And so we had this routine worked out where I would come in after work, 5, something like that, and I'd keep the kids, and then she'd go to work, and then she'd come home about midnight. Okay, and then when she came home, then I'd go back to my place. Now, we did that for 2.5 years. It's not fun. Okay, this is not fun. Okay. So what I would do is I would try to initiate a conversation when she'd come in, and, you know, I'd just get, okay, whatever, you know, time to go. And so, but I, you know, like I said, I kept trying. One evening, she came in, and she was visibly upset. She was visibly upset. And so I said, you know, what's going on? You know, everything okay? She said, just some stuff at work. It's just really bad. I said, do you want to share anything? You know, I'd be happy to listen. Do you want to share? She said, no, not really. And then she just shared this, and then she shared this. Then she sat down on the couch and shared, and I sat on the chair. And then the dam broke open. Holy crud. I mean, it just flooded out. She was telling me stuff. It's like, and she's telling me about stuff at work, and she's telling me stuff of her hurts and pains, and she's telling her stuff why I was falling short and why she is mad at me, and most of it's my fault. And then back to work and back to her hurts and pains and what's hard going on. And I mean, boy, was it coming. Now, I didn't say anything hardly at all. I just used minimal encouragers, you know, like, okay, uh-huh, interesting. You know, I mean, that's it. That's all. And I made no attempt to clarify anything. Because I said, well, I don't think that's right. She goes, you can leave. So I didn't. So anyway, that's where it was. God, what are you teaching me? And so I'm paying. And by the way, I'm going to pay. You ever talk to your spouse and they kind of talk and their eye rolls, their eyes kind of roll up? You know, no siree. I was locked on. I was locked on because I know one eye roll, I'm out of there. Okay, so I'm locked in. And I go, and I mean, you wouldn't believe everything she's sharing. So, and I've got to go to work in the morning. It's, I mean, this is everyday deal. That's got to work. 5 o'clock in the morning, she never stopped. Almost 5 hours, she never stopped. It's coming in, and I locked in. You know, locked in. Okay. I said, okay. Like that. And so she looks down at her watch, and she goes, gosh, it's late. She says, you need to go home. Okay. And so she walked me to the door. Walked to me the door. And she said the most remarkable thing to me I ever heard in my life. It's the most, to this day, it's the most remarkable thing I ever heard. She walked me to the door, and she said, thank you for talking to me. And I walked to the car, and I go, God, I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. You know, I just like, you know, I broke the code. I broke the code. Active listening is just like talking. In fact, it's better than, and the Bible even tells you that. The Bible even says it's better than talking. You know, see, we read the Bible all the time. We just don't pay attention to it. The Bible says it's better, that listening is better than talking. I broke the code. Active listening is just like talking. See, I'll talk to guys, and they say, you know, and I'll share with, you need to share more with your spouse. And they'll say, I don't have nothing to say. Yeah, it's not what she said. You missed the point. Break the code. Listen. And she'll think you're talking. She'll think it. If you just listen, she'll think you're talking. Your problem is you're trying to say way too much the way it is. All right. Oh, okay. But how do I get my... You don't. You listen. All right. You listen. You listen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't, one more, this one just came to mind, but I want to share it. Are y'all with me? Okay, you got with me? Okay, if you're not, just ask your wife. She'll explain it to you. Okay. So here's a, when there's something about ladies, okay, that because they're relational and more sensitive, that because of that, they'll tend to feel things more. Their emotions will build up in them more. And it happens to guys too, but more so ladies, because they're sensitive. You know, you see this, the kids do this, and it just keeps building up. And which makes sense. I mean, that's no big deal. It builds up, but you see what it does in ladies. And what happens, I have this picture in my mind of a pitcher, you know, water. Okay? And so you start filling this pitcher up with water. Okay, now what the water is emotions. So it just keeps filling up, filling up, filling up. And then it gets to the top and it starts sloshing over. Guys, it's sloshing on you. That's what that is. It's sloshing on you. And the worst thing you can say is don't slosh. You know, or be quit being so emotional. You see what I'm saying? Because it's filling up. And so now we've already proved women are just as smart as men. I mean, they are. It's equal. They do all these tests. Women aren't smarter. Men aren't. They're just the same, you know. So, but when her picture is full and sloshing over, what other thing that we learned a few weeks back? Facts don't penetrate emotions. It's a slosh over. So it's this bad time for facts. So what do? The point is, you address the emotion. And one of the things you address the emotion, and then what? When she speaks, she'll speak and share, and it's like pouring out that water. The more she shares her emotions, it's like pouring out that water. It pouring out that water, pouring it out. And then when it's empty, you know, it sets back up, that emotion is not there. Now you have a factual discussion. Guys, you're trying too many conversations when the water is sloshing. Okay, let her pour that out. And when it hits, then she feels better about where she is. And then you have a factual conversation. You see what I'm saying? Help, this ought to help. I can't say thus saith the Lord, but I want to so bad I'm biting my lips. Okay, because that's the truth. That's the truth about what happened. Now, I would do this with Linda. I can't even imagine that she might have a few emotions. Okay. And so sometimes, I know you can't imagine this, but she can get emotional, and she can slosh out of the picture. Picture. And so what I do, I literally do this, and I say, what's going on? Where are the emotions coming? And she tells me. She tells me. And so, and I can see in my mind, I shouldn't tell in front of this. In my mind, I just see her in that picture up. Empty. And then she'll stop. And I think, I don't know if this thing's empty yet. So I'll just ask her one more question. Kind of shake it. Make sure the last drop falls out of this before I start a conversation. And shake it. Okay, we're good. And then she says, then we'll have a factual conversation. It's code. Now, you know what the worst thing is? Stop being emotional. It's a really bad thing to say, especially when the picture's full. See? But because we don't make, it doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. Lady, you with me? Okay. Notice I'm not talking to you guys. Okay. Because, you know, she's going to carry my message home. Now, here's something else about this. And you may realize, and you kind of see that, you know, I kind of get the distinct feeling that while it seems to be picking on the guys a little more than the ladies, right? Well, it's because it's true. It's true because of all the things I've just said, all the things I just said. But here's the reason why. Here's the reason why. Here's the truth that we have. We have a guy who he is and how he's made up. And then you have the woman who she is and how she's made up. She's more relational and more sensitive. And this guy's not quite as relational, quite as sensitive, more facts, goals. Okay, we've already talked about all that stuff. So, if I talk to the woman, says, listen, here's all this truth. You got it? You need to suck it up and you need to change. That's the opposite of picking on the guys. I mean, it is. You need to suck it up and change. Toughen up like that. Stop being emotional. Stop being so relational. And what I'm saying, stop being female. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying stop being female. That won't work. That doesn't work. You see? Now I look at the guy, and I'm telling the guy, listen, you need to pay attention. She is sensitive. This is what you do. You need to listen. Those sensitivities protect it. She is relational. You need to protect those relationships. You want her more relational. You want her more sensitive. And he goes, oh, okay. Okay, I got, now you pay attention. This is what you need to do. Okay, I can do this. He's still a man. He's still a man. And nothing changed about him. He's still, in fact, he's a better man. Because, okay, I can do it. I can do it. I got this. He's still a man. Whereas I do the same conversation with the woman. I say, stop being female. It's totally destructive. Do you understand? Now, we have one point I hear. And this, boy, I heard the church message one time. I almost wanted to club the pastor. I hope you all never feel that way about me. But, oh, biblical marriage exalts the woman, demands leadership by the man. You see what it, God's got this figured out. God, and what this pastor said, he basically said that he really demeaned men, manlyhood, and leadership. Basically said that women should do more leading like that. I mean, I literally, closest I've ever, I mean, the only thing worse would have been called God a goat. I mean, I just like, oh, I mean, I barely held it together until I finished that. I wouldn't walk across the street listening to this guy say a word because of that. Now, God bless him, I shouldn't be, but it's still, it's so damaging. But do you see why I speak to the women the way I do? Because if you don't, she's understand. You want her to be female. So you tell the guys, this is the way it is. He didn't change. He's just more of a man. Okay, I'll do it. But he knows. He broke the code. He knows. And he does. Just like me making the bed when Linda's here and not making it when she leaves. I didn't change. But I know what to do when she comes back. You know, with me? I mean, it makes so much It makes so much sense. To me, it hurts. It hurts. And so this is how, and the thing of it is, this is how God has made us. This is how God made us. And we'll close with this. Chapter 20, verse 5. There you go. The purpose in a woman's heart is like deep water. But a man of understanding will draw it out. Again, I took a little liberty with the word woman there. They said man, but it means mankind. So what you have here, your wife is a code talker. Break the code. But to break the code, you must listen and draw out from the deep waters. From the deep waters. And one of the things that I can see now that Linda and I were separated, I had to draw out from the deep waters constantly. Because what I said was totally irrelevant and totally making things worse because of our situation. But I kind of think, you know, I think you guys need to listen. You know, don't go my route. By the way, it took such a long time. See? And you have the benefit of my misery to share with you. Amen? Not one amen I got here. Come on, amen. Amen. See, hallelujah, hallelujah. Close with this. The last sin messes everything. But proper teaching and baptism in the Holy Spirit will lead God's people to behave like Christ, which will exalt the woman and demand leadership by the man, which will model godliness to your children. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for your word. And you know, Lord, I never thought I would say it, especially when you're in it. You know, I'm thinking, God, thank you for the trials. Thank you for the heartache. Thank you for the pain. God, thank you for the difficulties. Because that truly was your university. Your university to know you and who you are in the power of the Holy Spirit. So for all those miseries, I thank you, God, because you are our teacher. And you're building a relationship with us that lasts for all eternity. So I truly, from the depths of my heart, say thank you, God. Thank you, God. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.